The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas, it's two Parshas, Matos and Masei. At the end of Parshas Matos, in Perek Lamed Beis, it states, "Umikne Rav hoye livnei Reuven v'livnei God otzu mi'ed." To the children of Reuven and the children of God, there was enormous wealth of cattle. Vayiru es eretz Yazer es eretz Gilod, and they saw the land of Yazer and the land of Gilod. V'inei amokum meke mikne, and it's a land that was beautiful pasture, just right for all of the cattle. And this was before going into Eretz Yisrael. Vayavol v'nei God v'nei Reuven v'yemru el Meshe v'el Elozar HaKohen v'amasiyo eido lemor. And the v'nei God and v'nei Reuven came, and they said to Moshe and Elozar HaKohen and to the princes of the Edo, these were all of the areas in the cities. In this area, this is an Eretz Miknehi, v'lavodecho Mikneh, this is cattle country, for cattle and sheep. And your servants, we have much cattle. And if you will agree, yutan es oretz hazois lavodecho lachuzo, if you will agree, give us this land. And al tavireinu es hayarden, and we won't have to go across the Yarden, across the Jordan, into Eretz Yisrael. Now firstly, where did they get all of the cattle from? And all of this wealth? The Medrash tells us, here in Medrash Rabbah and in the Medrash Tanhuma, they got it from the previous parsha, the previous subject topic dealt with here in Parshas Matos. Because what did we learn before? In Perek Lamed Aleph, it states, "Vaydaber Hashem al Meshe lemor." Hashem said to Meshe, "Nekem nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'esa midjonim." Go and take revenge from the midjonim. And this is linked to the previous parshas, to Parshas Pinchas, into Parshas Bolok. Midian, this was the nation where Bilam came from, and these were the ones, in accordance to Bilam's advice, came to be makshil, came to trip up Klal Yisrael with what they did, and they caused the whole Magefa, they caused the downfall of many, many thousands of Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now go and take revenge against them. And Moshe fulfilled this. Moshe Pinchas, Elazar and Pinchas, and they went and they made war against the Midjanim, and they conquered them, and they took all of the shalal, they took all of the spoils. And the parasha previous to what we're learning now deals with how they divided up the spoils. So this is how B'nai Reuven and B'nai God got all of this Miknah, all of this wealth of the herds. Evidently they chose this in respect for other things which he gave to the other Shvatim, otherwise everyone would have had this. They like to deal with cattle and with sheep. And this is the reason why the two parshas, the two topics, are placed right next to each other. This is what the Medrash tells us. Now, the second question is, this land, what land was this? Later on in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it states, this was Mamleches Sichon Melech Amori, or Mamleches Eg Melech Aboshon, Ever Hayarden Mizrocho. As they came out of the desert to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Yarden, the Jordan, was a boundary. And on this side of the Yarden, which was the eastern bank of the Jordan, were great lands, and they were ruled by great and mighty kings and their nations. There was Mamlechet Sichon, the empire of Sichon, who was the king of Amari, and Mamlechet Og, the empire of Og, Melech HaBoshan, who was the king of Boshan. And this was not the land that Klal Yisrael was to conquer. This was not the land which was promised to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. What was promised to the others was Me'ever HaYarden V'Laholo, the other side of the Yarden, the west side of the Jordan. This is the east side. But these nations came out to fight against Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael had to protect themselves. And Moshe led the armies, and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, they wiped out these nations. And therefore, all of this land fell to them. So now they had all of this land before going into Eretz Yisrael. When we speak in today in Eretz Yisrael of the west bank of the Jordan, that's on the other side. That's on the side that belongs to, that was promised to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. This was on the east bank. This was the other side of the Jordan, which was known in modern times as Transjordan. It was occupied in modern times, or just recently it is, by Jordan and other such countries. But this also fell into the hands of Klal Yisrael, because this belonged to, these were the empires of Mamlechet Sichon Amori, Melech Amori, and Mamlechet Og Melech HaBoshan. So that was this land, and this land was very, very fertile, and it was large and expansive, and it was just right for cattle and sheep. So they came and they said, should we inherit on the other side of the Yarden? Let us inherit here. We will take our portion here. Also, another point to mention here, that the Parsha starts to speak about Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, the children of God, the children of Reuven, and the children of God. And these were both from Rachel. Reuven was the Bechor, he was the firstborn, and he was from Leah, and he was from Leah. And God was from the handmaid, from the maidservant of Leah. But as we get to the end of the Parsha, when it states, Vayitein lehem Moshe, that Moshe gave him this land, this is in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, there it adds on, Ulechatzi Shevet Menashe ben Yosef, to half also, to the half of the tribe of Menashe, who was the son of Yosef. This was from Rachel. Now why, it seems they came in at the end, not at the beginning. Why, I'm not so sure. Okay. Now when Moshe heard all of this, so what did he answer? So it states, Vayemru, that Moshe said, Vayemru Moshe levnei God levnei Reuven, Ahaychechem yavol la'milchoma v'atem teshfupo. He said, what is going on? You're coming with an etzer, you're coming with a proposal that your brothers should go to war to conquer the land which was promised to us, and you will sit here, you will stay here. What about the great mitzvah that we were given to conquer Eretz Yisrael? And not only that, the Loma Sinun as Leben Israel Mahavor as Oretz as Shinosan Lem Hashem. Not only that, but you will mislead the whole nation. Because then everyone will say, well, what do we have to go into across the Yarden and fight? Which was known as Canaan, Eretz Canaan. This was occupied by the seven nations and seven children of Canaan. Why do we have to go to all the trouble to fight them? We can yash and we can inherit here. He says, this is the talk of the Meraglim. This is what the spies spoke about in Parsha Shalach. He says, Ko osu aveisecha, misholchi esom mikotish ba'nea, liris es oretz. When I sent out the spies to spy out the land, that's what they said. Why do we have to go conquer that land? And Moshe starts to tell them over what came from that. That they misled the whole nation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a decree that you will wander in the desert for 40 years until this whole generation is finished. Because, and they will not see the land which I have sworn to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, except Kaleb ben Yefuneh and Yeshua ben Nun, and the new generation. So he said, this is what you also want to do. So when Moshe heard them speak, he was choshed them. He had suspected them that this was another conspiracy not to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael. And he became very alarmed. Then the Torah tells us further, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Mayikshu Eloh Vayemru. So the Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad came and they said, no, we're not coming with Atzas HaMaraglim, with a conspiracy of the Maraglim. They said, we're not saying that we will not conquer Eretz Canaan, which was promised to our forefathers, and we will not help the others. Gidrei Sein Divne Limigneinu Pei Ve'orim Letapeinu. We will build places for our sheep and cattle here, and for our children. We will build cities here. And we will leave them together with our wives here. V'anachnu Nechol Etz Chushim Livnei Bnei Yisrael. And we will go across the Yarden. And we will go armed, and we will fight together with everyone else for Eretz Yisrael, for Eretz Canaan. And they said, not only we will fight, but Nechol Etz Chushim Livnei Bnei Yisrael. We will go in the front. And the Chazal bring, and Rashi brings it, that Giborim Hoyu. The Bnei Reuven, Bnei Gad were Giborim. They were extremely strong and good soldiers. And they undertook to go in front and to lead the armies. And Ad Asher Avyeinu Mel Mekemom. And we will fight until every one comes to the right place. Leinoshu Velboteinu, we will not return to our homes. Ad Hisnachal Bnei Yisrael Ishnachlosai. Until everyone inherits his portion. And and we, instead of taking our portion there in the west, we will take our portion in the east. This is what they offered. So what did they do? Firstly, they said, they accepted upon themselves that we are not going to stay here and let everyone else go fight. We will only leave our cattle and our sheep and our children and our wives here. But we will go and across the Yarden to help everyone fight. Secondly, they said, Beroshe Gayoseis, that we will go ahead of everyone else. And we will be in the front. And this is what they did. And thirdly, they said, that we will not return to our homes here on this side of the Yarden until everyone has inherited his portion across the Yarden. Now, this is what they accepted upon themselves. And Moshe told them, well, he says, if this is what you want and this is what you agree to do, then I'm in agreement. So he made a deal with them. Now, actually, they accepted more than even Moshe asked them. Because Moshe later on only asked them that you should go. He never asked them to go in front. He wanted them to fight with the brothers. They said, no, we'll do more. We'll go in front. All right, Moshe says, you'll go in front. Then Moshe only asked them to go and help conquer the land. They said, we will go and help conquer the land, and we will go and help settle the land. To conquer the land took 7 years. To settle the land and to divide it took another 7 years. And then we will return. And kachoyu, that it states in Yeshua, Sefer Yeshua, in Perek Vav, Posuk Tes, in Perek Chof Zayin, that they fulfilled everything that they promised. That they went and fought, they went Bereish in the front, and they stayed there for the 14 years of conquering the land and dividing and settling the land before returning home. And this is why it states where Moshe said that if you agree to do what I said, and then he added, "Vayetzim mipichem tasu," you agree to do not only what I said, but what you also said you'll do. Because they were Moshe if they added even unto what Moshe said. And everything was fulfilled. Okay. Now, it seems well and good. We can ask a question. First question we can ask is that since this Eivar HaYarden was not Eretz Yisrael, it was not what was promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so how could they ask for that instead of their chelek, instead of their portion in Eretz Yisrael? And how did Moshe agree to give them that? I mean, if someone would come and say, give me a portion in Egypt instead of Eretz Canaan, or give me a portion in New York instead of in Eretz Yisrael. Firstly, they would have never asked for such a thing, and if they did, Moshe would have never agreed to it. We were commanded to go and to settle the land which was given to us, given to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which had Kedushas Haaretz, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, and there fulfilled all of the mitzvahs at Tluyis Be'aretz, all the mitzvahs Haaretz, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. So how can they come along and say, no, this is good for cattle, this is what we want, let the others take Eretz Yisrael? Right, the answer to that is, at the end of Parshas Ekev, right at the very end, the next to the last pasuk, I believe it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Kol hamokom asher tidrei kaf raglechem bei lochem yiyeh." Every place, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, every place where you shall tread your foot, this shall belong to you. Min haminbor v'halvonayin, from the desert to Levonon. Min hanor en ha'pros, from the river Pros, ad ha'yom ha'achrei, until the Western Sea, which is the Mediterranean, yagvulchem will be your boundaries. There's a contradiction in this posuk. And the Rabban asks it. What is the contradiction? Firstly, it states, wherever you will walk and set your foot, that will become yours. So we were given an unlimited area. And then it starts to tell us limitations, boundaries, from the Midbar, Bahalvonayn, from the desert to Levonon, from the Nar Pros to the sea, Yegvulchem. So the Rabban explains that there are two dimensions to Eretz Yisrael. There's what is known as Nachlas Oves, and this is also called Nachlas Shiva, and there's what is known as Nachlas Kibush. Nachlas Oves, this is the inheritance which was promised to us because it was promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This is what Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, was given to us b'schus oves, in the schus of our forefathers. Because consistently, it always says, Ha'eretz Hashem nishbati la'Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the oves, to Avraham, and to Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and promised them the land. Now, the land which he promised to them was a land which had boundaries. And these are the boundaries. And therefore this was known as Nachles Oves, the inheritance which was given or promised to be given to the Oves, to our forefathers. And it was also called Nachles Shiva, the inheritance of the seven. Why was it called the inheritance of the seven? Because this was the area where the seven nations of Canaan lived. And that's why it was also referred to as Eretz Canaan. Canaan was one of the sons of Noah, and he had seven sons, seven descendants that lived in this land. And one was called Canaan, And therefore the whole land was named after, was called in his name. These were the Shiva Umais, the seven nations. So therefore it was called Nachla Shiva. Then there's a second dimension there at Yisrael, called Mokom Asher Tidrei Kaf Rag Lechem Bei Lechem Yiyah. Wherever you shall put your foot down, that will also become yours. That's called Nachlas Kibush. Inheritance which came to you through conquering. And that you can annex to Eretz Yisrael, and it will become just like Eretz Yisrael. It will also have the sanctity, the Kedusha Sa'oretz. From the Gemaras, we find that what was annexed to Eretz Yisrael had almost the identical Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael itself. There are only a few obscure dinim laws which did not prevail in those areas that did prevail in Eretz Yisrael. You would bring Truma from there, you would bring Maestros from there. It had the Kedusha Sa'aretz. And that was called Nachlas Kibush. And that's what this pasuk in Eikov is saying. Called Mokom Asher Tidrei Kaf Rag Lechem Bei Lechem Yiyah. Wherever you shall put your foot down and conquer it and annex it to Eretz Yisrael, that will also be Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael itself. Min Amidbor Valvonen, Min Anor Napros, Varayom Achren Yegvulchem. This is what is in the Rabban and in Chazal. So therefore, they didn't ask for Chutz Lorets. They didn't ask to take a portion outside of Eretz Yisrael. Since this was conquered by Klal Yisrael, and it was to be annexed to Eretz Yisrael, this also had a halacha of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they asked for a portion in Eretz Yisrael, but it will be on this side of the Yarden. And therefore Moshe agreed. His only worry was, see, what was his worry? His worry was, is that if they can get this without fighting for it, because this war was already ended, so then maybe everybody will decide to do this. And if everybody decides to do this, so what is going to happen to Nachla Shiva? What is going to happen to the land which was promised to our forefathers? Nobody will go to take it. And that was the ikar. This was the tofel. That was the priority. This was secondary. The Nachlas Kibush is Kodesh only because it becomes a tofel, it becomes a secondary to Eretz Canaan. But if they leave Eretz Canaan, so what would be with the Kibush? And not only that, the halacha is that the Nachlas Kibush conquered lands only became Kodesh after Eretz Yisrael was conquered. That's why at this time it was not Kodesh yet. Only after Eretz Yisrael will be totally conquered and settled, then the other lands would also be Kodesh, would also become sanctified. So this was Moshe's worry. Everybody's going to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to go after the Tofel, what's secondary, and forsake what is the priority, and which was given to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says that's something which is untenable. So this was, once they explained their motives, therefore Moshe agreed. Accordingly, they did not do anything wrong. They made a proposal, and the proposal was acceptable. And Moshe says, if you fulfill the conditions, I'm in agreement. And they fulfilled the conditions. Not only the basic conditions, but even more than the conditions. So they didn't do anything wrong. And then we can ask a question, though. Because we find that the Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, and the Chatzi Sheva Menashe were punished for this. Where do we find they were punished? In the Divrei Hayomim, Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Perkei Posukov Vov, it states that during the time of Melech Ashur, when when Klal Yisrael were being exiled from their land, it states by Yagleim Leruveni, Ulagodi, Ulachatsi, Shevet Menashe, the first ones to go into Golus, into exile, were these two and a half tribes. And the Chazal tell us, this is in the Medrash Tanhuma, here in Eis Hei, that they went into Golus, they were exiled before all of the other tribes. And Rashi, in Mishlei, Perechof, Posechof Aleph, Rashi brings that they went into exile Kamashoni, many, many years. He makes a calculation there. Many years before the other Shvatim. And the Chazal want to know why. Sages ask why. Why did they go into exile many, many years before the other Shvatim? So they bring from a posuk, from this a posuk in Mishlei, this posuk Perikov, Posukhov al Aleph, that Shlema Melech wrote, Nachalo mivay heles borisheino, the inheritance which was taken rapidly, the inheritance which was taken rapidly right in the beginning, in the end it turned out to be not a brocha. And the Chazal Darshan Rashi says, Nival lemaher litel tchila, and Shlema Melech is giving Musar in general. He says, if you are nival, if you are hurried and rapidly, you want to grab something, you say, this I want, this I want, and you grab it, kigain b'nei God b'nei Ruvain, like the b'nei God b'nei Ruvain, that they went and hurriedly they wanted to take their portion before everyone else took their portion and before the rest was all ready to be taken. So then it states Achrisai Leiseborech, the end is not, you will not have a brocha from that. Shegolu kamoshonim kerim sharashvotim, they lost it long before the other Shvatim lost Eretz Yisrael, when they went into exile. Now, we can ask Akasha, why? What did they do wrong? We said the land they were taking had Kedushas Haaretz, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael, otherwise Moshe wouldn't have agreed to it. They went, and not only did they help their brothers fight for Eretz Yisrael, but they went in the front, Rosh Higayosis, and not only did they help conquer Eretz Yisrael, but they stayed there an additional 7 years until the whole land was divided and settled, and only then did they return. So what did they do wrong? So the Chazal tell us in the Medrash in Tanhumi here and in Medrash Rabbah, they were nifal. Nifal doesn't only mean rapidly. Nifal means confusion. Bahala. And this is the opposite of shlemus and seder. When you go with seichel, you go with a person's intelligence and his chokhmah's wisdom, so everything is done, put in proper order, proper priority. And this brings to shlemus, this brings to a completeness and a totality. But when a person goes with bahola, bahola is the contrary to with chokhmah. He goes with a rapidity. He grabs. And it's from a state of spontaneousness, without thinking, and confusion. It brings confusion to the point where he's mevalvel as a seder. he mixes up the proper order and priorities and the proper shlemus. And this is what the Chazal said that they did wrong. Where do we see that they mixed up their proper order and the proper shlemus and the priorities? Because what motivated them for all of this? What was the motivation? The motivation was cattle. That's how it starts. They had cattle. They had enormous amount of cattle and sheep. Where did they get it from? They got it from the war with the Midianites. So this was a brocha. They had a tremendous brocha. What is the purpose of the cattle and the sheep? What is the purpose of a brocha, birchas hagashmius, material wealth? Is the Seder HaBriya, the order which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world? Did he create the physical world, the material world, to serve man? So man could aspire to greater heights? Or did he create man to serve the material world? And that would be the ultimate. Were the cattle created to serve man? Or was man created to serve the cattle? What do we mean by this? Because it is true, this was part of Eretz Yisrael. But this was the periphery. This was not the heart of Eretz Yisrael. This was not the land which was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This was not Nachlas Shiva, Canaan. This was not where all of Klal Yisrael would live. Now what would have happened if they didn't have the Mikne Rav, if they didn't have the cattle? They would have gone in to take their portion in the heart of Eretz Yisrael, in the land which was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They would have gone to live together with Klal Yisrael, and everything would have been fine. Now it comes out that because of the cattle, they became Nisraku. They distanced themselves from the heart of Eretz Yisrael. They distanced themselves from the land which was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They distanced themselves from living together with all of the other 10.5 Shvatim tribes. And they went after the periphery. The periphery was Kodesh because the heart was Kodesh. Not the other way around. And what? So did the cattle bring them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is the most Kodesh part of Eretz Yisrael? Yerushalayim. That's the heart of Eretz Yisrael. And what is the heart of Yerushalayim? Har HaBayis, Har Tzion, and the Beis HaMikdash. So when everyone should be trying to be closer, and they also would have tried to be closer, and they would have had their portion there, they distanced themselves. But why did they distance themselves? Because we have cattle, Mikne Rav, we have cattle and sheep. So it comes out that the brocha of material wealth, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them from the Midyanim, and the material world was created to serve man so he could aspire to greater heights, ended up that they ended up serving the cattle. They left the heart of Eretz Yisrael in order that they could find pasture for their cattle. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech in his wisdom said that's a nachla mevoheles, that's a nachla, that's an inheritance which was taken not with wisdom but with beholo, without proper thought, with confusion. They had taken what was a tofel, what was a periphery, what was secondary, and they forsook what was the ikur, what was the olibot. That will not be a brocha. Achrisa leisevorech. That will not end up being brocha. And therefore, this brocha, they were the first to lose it. When it came for Klal Yisrael to be exiled from Eretz Yisrael, and to lose Eretz Yisrael, they were the first ones. A further proof of this, the Chazal give us, is because when they spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, they said in Posuk, Tesrain, they said, Vayikshu Elov Vayimru. They came to Moshe and they said, Gidrei Sein Nivne Limiknenu Pei, we will build places for our sheep here and our cattle, and Orim Letapeinu, and cities for our children. What did they mention first? First they mentioned building a place for the cattle and sheep, and then they mentioned building a place for the cities. So what were they preoccupied with? They were preoccupied with the cattle and the sheep. When Moshe went back and he told them, Moshe went and he told them, he said, this is what you should do. Moshe reversed the order. And he told them, build yourself cities for your wives and your children, and places for your cattle and sheep. And Moshe told them, he said that you are confused. You are placing what is the ikar, the tofel, and the tofel, the ikar. He says, you are getting confused and mixed up as to what is important and what is unimportant. In other words, what is priority and what is secondary. So their wealth had driven them away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and away from Avedis Hashem, when the whole purpose which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought wealth into this world was that it should be mefanes, it should bring panosa, it should bring sustenance to man, so this will bring him even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash Tanhuma tells us as follows. Here in Os Hay, Kama Matonis Nivra Ba'ilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a lot of gifts in the world. Then it brings Sri, it brings wisdom, physical strength, wealth. And then the Medrash tells us, when are these matonas, when are these gifts? Bizman shehem matnei shomai. These are gifts when they come from heaven. And they come from Gvurah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if they do not come from heaven, but rather a person goes and grabs it, it does not come his way, but rather a person pursues it, chases it, and takes it, he says, then they're not matonos. And he will lose them. Seifeli posuk mimenu. He will lose them. This means, it states that they have to come in with a wisdom and a seder hadvorim, with the priorities, the proper priorities from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash brings, we find even wisdom. It finds, for example, the Medrash says, Shnei Chachomim Omdu Ba'ilam. There were two great wise people in the world, one from Israel and one from the nations of the world, Achitofel Yisrael and Bilam from the nations of the world. And both of them did not use their wisdom properly. Wisdom was given to bring a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They used their wisdom to become distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obdu min ha'ilam u'min ha'ilam abo. They both, the wisdom, therefore this bracha became a klolo, and it drove them away from this world and the next world. Shnei giborim omdu ba'ilam. There were two great, very strong people in the world. One was from Israel and one was from the nations of the world. One was Shimshon and the other was Goliath. Their strength was not used properly, drove them away. There were two very wealthy people in the world. One was Kerach from Israel and one was Homam from the nations of the world. Shneim obdu min ha'ilam, and their wealth drove them away. We'll speak about this in a minute a little more. They went and they grabbed what should not have brought. And this is what we find by B'nai God B'nai Reuben. They were very wealthy and but they had endearment more to their wealth than to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore they were golu. They lost their wealth first. They lost this land. The Medrash tells us further a person has to realize when it comes to wealth that what it is his, what Hashem gives him. And he must use it properly. And therefore, it states, he shouldn't try too hard to be wealthy. Because if he tries too hard, then he's trying to get what is not his. And it ends up not to be a brocha, but heaven forbid a klola. What Hashem gives to him and comes his way, that he must take. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give to him what he decides he should have. Further than that, he should not pursue too much. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give something to someone, then he knows how to do it. Medrash states here, it says, Hashem Meirish U'Mashir Mashpil Af Mereimen. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that makes one wealthy and takes wealth away from a person. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that lifts up and makes people mighty and brings people down. Shol Matunise Achas Es Rabbi Shmuel Bachalafto. There was a noble woman amongst the Romans, and she asked Rabbi Shmuel Bachalafto, "B'kama yomim bor HaKadosh Baruch Hu esei lomai? How many days did it take HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world?" He said, 6 days. And after the 6 days he created the world, what does he do with his time? He said to her, he builds ladders. Why does he build ladders? Because male lezer, who made it lezer. He builds ladders so he can bring people up high and others to bring people who are high down. And then the Medrash says, Teda lecho, kishibike shishashu b'nei God b'nei Reuven, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give wealth to the b'nei God b'nei Reuven. What did he do in order to give them wealth? Because he brought down the whole nation of Midian in order to make B'nai God and B'nai Reuven wealthy. He says that's why it's written first they took all the spoils from Midian, and then it states that Reuven and God had so much wealth.
So
So we see that he brought them down and raised these up. But because his bracha was not used as a bracha, so later on we see that he brought them down and raised someone else up. Then the Medrash tells us, Lev Chochem Liminai V'Lev Ksil Lismolai. The Chochem, his heart, is by his right hand, and the fool, his heart, is by his left hand. The Chochem is Mesha, and the fools will B'nai Reuben and B'nai Gad. Moshe, he could see straight. He saw what was the Iker, what was priority, number one. He saw, and the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben could not see straight, because they had more love for the Nechosim, for the material wealth, than for the Nefoshes, for their own people. Because they told Moshe, we will build places for our sheep and cattle, and then they said we will build cities for our children. So that is the Lev Chochem, Lev Ksil Bishbol. The heart of the fool is on his left side. Moshe said, no, Lev Sasukach. Kach also was a Iko Tchilo. You must take what's important first and what's second important next. Bonu Obenu Orim Letapchem Machakach Gederes Letzenachem. First build cities for your children, and then you build places for your sheep. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Atem chibavtem, because you are placing all importance on your material wealth more than your own selves and your own children, chayechem ein bebrocha, you will not see brocha from this wealth. And that's what it states, Nachalom Evaheleles Birishene Vachrise Le Savorech, that they went into Golus first. And the Maral explains, what does this have to do with right side or left side? The heart is on the right side, the heart is on the left side. Because a person was given two hands. But he wasn't given two hands so he could do two things at one time. Because if he was, then both hands would be of equal strength. But a person wasn't made to do two things at one time of the equal importance. A person was given two hands so he could do one thing, and that's with his right hand, and his left hand serves the right hand. So the left hand is the shamas, is the shamas. The left hand serves the right hand. So the person decides what is the all important thing he should do now. And he does it with both hands. He does it with his right, and the left hand serves the right hand. So the Chochem, he uses his right hand, and he uses his left hand to serve the right hand. The fool, he does what is not important with his left hand. And he's using his right hand to help his left hand. And this was the difference between the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuben and Moshe. The Chazal tell us also in Keheles, Hey, Yesh Osher Shomu Lebalov Liro Osri. There is wealth which is sometimes given to a person or taken by a person, but which turns out to be Ro Osri, a klolo, a curse instead of a brocha. And this the Medrash tells us, like we mentioned before, for example, Kerach and Haman. Why did Kerach have the audacity and the arrogance to think that he would be strong enough to create a revolution and to overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu? That was because of his wealth. Korach was enormously wealthy. Actually, the Medrash says that he had donkeys and donkeys and donkeys when he went out of Mitzrayim that carried merely the keys for all of his chests of gold and silver and jewels. And he had tapped, I believe, the wealth that was stored away from Yosef HaTzadik. So this was a brocha, but he turned it into a klola, because it gave him such self-importance that he thought he could succeed in overthrowing Moshe Rabbeinu. Haman, where did Haman get the audacity that he thought he could overthrow all of Klal Yisrael? Also, because he was exceedingly wealthy. And when someone is wealthy, he becomes inflated with his self-importance. As the Torah tells us, and from here he thought that he would be able to succeed over Klal Yisrael. Without their wealth, they would have been better off, far better off. Kedah wouldn't have tried to start up with Moshe Rabbeinu, and Haman wouldn't have tried to start with Klal Yisrael, and they would have been far better off. So what happened? That their wealth became a klola. So this is what is said, that Yesh Eish Shoma Labalav L'Ra'asai. And this was the same with the B'nai God and the B'nai Ruhin. From here we learn what is known as, we're dealing with chemdas amomen, where a person has enormous desire for material wealth, more than his portion, and istapkus amomen, where a person has to learn to be satisfied that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him is good. And that's what the Medrash Tanhuma concludes here, where it states, Ve'ezer Oshir. Who is the Oshir? Who is the wealthy man? Asameach Bechelke. He who rejoices over his lot. Shnema Yigia Kapecha Kisechel Ashrecha V'teiv Loch. He who eats from the labor of his hands. Ashrecha V'teiv Loch, the Gemara Darshins, it'll be fortunate for him in this world, and Teiv Lochen will be good for him in the next world. The Maral says in this pasuk, where do we see Yigia Kapecha Kiseichal? Where do we see this speaking about someone who's satisfied? He says from the fact that it states Kiseichal, that he eats, it's referring where he enjoys what he eats. Everybody eats, or almost everybody eats, from the labor of his hands. So what is it telling us here? Everyone eats from the labors of their hands, but only few people enjoy the labors of their hands. It's the Yetzer Hara comes, and whatever a person has tells him, you don't have enough. You have one suit, instead of enjoying the suit, the Yetzer Hara tells you that other suit would look even nicer on you. You have one shirt, instead of enjoying the shirt, the Yetzer Hara tells you, no, that shirt is better. I was just near some shops yesterday, and I saw these were very, very exquisite shops. I couldn't believe it. I saw there they had ties for 500 rand, shirts for 1,000 rand, and sport jackets for 5,000 rand. So I saw, I couldn't believe it. How do you get up to that? The Yetzer Hara tells you, what should you buy a shirt for 100 rand? A shirt for 500 rand is better. You got a shirt for 500 rand, a shirt for 1,000 rand is better. Meanwhile, the person is never enjoying the shirt he's wearing. A car, person gets a car, driving along the road, and next to him, Mercedes or BMW parks, he looks by, he no longer enjoys his car. So that's not Yigia Kapecha Kiseicha. He's not eating and enjoying the fruits of his hands. And therefore he's always chosar, he's always lacking. And someone who's always lacking is not a rich man, no matter how much he has. He's an only ve'evyo. Even if he's a multi-billionaire, he's an only ve'evyon. The word evyon means ta'ev, he always needs more, he's lacking. On the other hand, someone who enjoys what he has, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me a shirt, enjoys it. gave me a car, he has nachas from it. Enjoys what he has. This is the osher. This is the wealthy person. Sameach bechelkei. Me, who's the wealthy person? Mishiyeshli nachas ruach mi eishra. He enjoys what he has. The moral brings. Why is it Ashrecha v'teivloch? Why will he have be fortunate in this world and in the next world? Because the wealthy man doesn't have this world. if it's a wealthy man that is always lacking, how can you have this world if you're always lacking? And the Gemara brings that he is greater even than a Yerei Shamayim, than one who fears Hashem. Why? Because the one who fears Hashem, the Gemara brings, he has the next world, but he doesn't have this world. How can he have this world if he's constantly living in awe and in fear? But this is the madrega of avas Hashem. This is the madrega of love of Hashem, because he gives brachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. Look, you gave me bread, you gave me wine, you gave me oil. He's always giving brachas. And avas Hashem, the madrega of avas Hashem, the Gemara says, is greater than yiras Hashem, the fear of Hashem. And he'll have both worlds then. The wealthy man, if he's always lacking, doesn't have this world. He's always needs more. He's in need. He's needy. So he's the same person who's sleeping by the Salvation Army. He needs. And the one who fears Hashem, he lives in fear all of the time. So he doesn't have this world. He might have the next world, but he won't have this world. But the one who enjoys the fruit of his hands and blesses HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that, and that's Avas Hashem, he'll have both worlds. That's why it states Ashrecha v'teivloch, Ashrecha ba'ilam hazeh v'teivloch ba'ilam abo. So this is the great level of istapkus. This can only be where a person is satisfied. Otherwise, this is why we find that people drive themselves crazy, because whatever they work all their lives for, and when they got it, it's only a stepping stone to work for something else. The Mishnah tells us in Ovis, Mesecht Ovis, Mishnah Zayin, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Ches. Mishnah tells us, you just give me that tzitter, please? Yeah, that's good. It states, who are you aiming? This was Hillel. Hillel said, Marbe Bosa, Marbe Rima. Someone who eats too much meat is only going to bring sickness to himself. Rima, all types of different sicknesses. Marbe Nechosim, someone who has too much material wealth, Marbe Daiga, is going to bring more anxieties and worry to himself. Marbe Noshim, someone who has too many wives, he's going to bring shoffing, sorcery into his house. Marbe Shvoches, someone who has too many maidservants, Marbe Zima, he's going to bring promiscuity into his house. Marbe Avodim, someone who has too many servants, Marbe Gezel, he's just going to bring more gezel, more theft into his house. So these are five things. Then the Mishnah says five others. Marbe Torah, if he has more Torah, Marbe Chaim, he has more life. Marbe Yeshiva, Marbe Chochma, if he has more Yeshiva, then he has more wisdom. Marbe Eitza, if he has more counsel, good counsel, Marbe Tfuna, then he brings understanding. Marbe Tzedakah, if he increases his charity, Marbe Shalom, he brings more peace into the world. Then it goes on to Shem Tov. So the Maral asks, what is this Mishnah telling us? So he says, if you notice that the first five, and then the fifth one is Marbe Shem Tov, a good name, and Konotere Konolei Chayelam Abba. He says the first five are speaking in regards to physical bracha. And the second is speaking by spiritual. When it comes to physical possessions, Too much is not good. Enough is perfect. You sit down at a meal, you eat enough, it's perfect. You eat too much, you get sick. So this is what we see in the physical world. Too much, that brings ruination. That's the first five. But when it comes to spiritual wealth, there the more the better. The more Torah, the better. The more tzedakah, the better. Because that's unlimited. The Vilna Gaon used to say, he said that a person, when he chooses his friends, he should choose friends who are poorer than him, but wiser than him. Because if they're poorer, so then he will not envy their wealth. So the Yetzer Hara won't be able to drive him like Acharei Nayim, whatever we see we want. If they're wiser than him, then he will envy their wisdom. So he will be driven to become wise like them. But if your friends are wealthier than you, but they're less wise than you, so you have nothing to drive you after wisdom, and you will be driven after their wealth, which will bring you akina mechias adam in adam, mina ilam, drive you out of the world. Fact is, he used to tell his daughters, the less you go out, the better it is. Because you see things, and then you want them. He used to tell them not to go to shul. Because when they go to, and he says, especially on Yantif, because everybody comes, basically, he says, to show all their beautiful clothing. And then you come home and you talk about it, and it brings kino, envy, and many times it brings loshon hara. And we are driven, because we're not dealing here with something which is neutral. We're dealing with one of the greatest drives in the human being. If you see, the world is money driven. The Chofetz Chaim, zichron livracha, was almost an extreme in this for himself. He didn't want, it was called maestris, he did not want anything that was not 100% necessary for himself. He didn't want it. What was necessary in the physical world was good, but beyond that he didn't want. Actually, Rabbi Kurtzdag told me that he once heard from the Ponovitcherov, that the Ponovitcherov had learned in Telze Yeshiva. And then he went to visit the Chofetz Chaim in the Radom. And when he came back to the Telze Yeshiva, they said, tell us something about the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was on a different side of the border, so they didn't have too much interaction with him. They had, but not so much. But now you're coming, tell us something you saw about the Chofetz Chaim. So he said, I was studying with someone, and we came across halacha that the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim and his Mishnah Berurah, quotes from a sefer which we didn't have, and it wasn't in the library of the yeshiva. So we figured maybe the Chofetz Chaim must have the sefer. We wanted to look into it, so we went and asked him. She says, I don't have the sefer either. Where did he see it? He was in Warsaw. He saw it in the library there. Yeah, Warsaw was wealthy, and they had many, many shvarim. Then the Chofetz Chaim said, he says, I don't feel bad that I don't have the sefer. I feel bad for the sforim that I do have. And they looked at him. He said, why? He said, because for all the sforim that I had, he said, I had to pay for. And to pay for them, I had to work. And that work took minutes or hours away where I could have been studying. So he says, that sometimes I feel bad. I don't feel bad because I don't have that sefer. But the sforim that I have, that I own, and that I could have used from the library, he says, that was my life that I gave for them. And that life I could have put in more into studying Torah. So when they told this over in Tells, this is what the Bonavitch Rav relates. So they said, this is what the Chofetz Chaim said. So he said, he says, this is not what he said. This is how he lived. This is how the Chofetz Chaim lived. See, even in Tells they couldn't come to that concept. He says, this is not the way he talked. This is the way he lived. And people wonder the Chofetz Chaim, what he did. His Mishneh Berurah and others for him, with thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of labor and Torah. This is the way he lived. Every bit of this world he saw, if it wasn't absolutely necessary, it was taken away from the next world from him. He didn't want it. The fact is even further. The son writes on the Chofetz Chaim that he never owned his own lulav and esrog. He used to be Yetzer together with the killer, with the shuls. And when they once asked him, why don't you own your own lulav and esrog? He said, I'm not a wealthy person. I'm a poor man. I could fulfill the mitzvah by buying beshutfas, by buying a lulav and esrog in partnership with others. Even on a heder mitzvah. This is how he looked. And he writes in his Mishneh Berurah, in the Be'er Halacha, he writes that a person must be very careful on the money he spends, to make sure he spends only on necessities or in accordance with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Because Mezeinaisav Shalodim Ktsubin Leimah Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, because a person is allocated a certain amount for the year, lest he runs out of his allocation before the end of the year. And then there's the story, which we've mentioned here a number of times, that he had a balabos that used to come to shul in the morning and used to come into the Beis HaMedrash to learn. And one day he stopped coming to shul, and he doesn't see him coming in so much to learn. And he asked him what's happening, and he says, Baruch Hashem, thank God, he says, my business has been blessed, it's growing, and I have to get there early because there's customers there. And I, many times now, I even have to go on long trips for the business, and that's why you don't see so much of me. So he said to him, he said, what would be if there was a king who called over his servant and said, you have been very, very loyal to me, and you have served me beyond what I would expect. I want to give you an award. And he gave him a beautiful piece of land. He says, this will be for you and your children. What would be the reaction of the servant? Would he give the king even better service, or would he give the king less service? He says, no, for sure, he'd give the king even be a better servant to the king. So he says, here, you used to come to davening all of the time, and you used to come to learn in the Beis HaMedrash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw you was such a good servant, he wanted to give you an award. So he gave you a reward where your business was blessed. So now you must serve him even with greater strength. Instead, what do? You serve him less. You don't come now to shul. You don't learn. In other words, he was saying what we're saying. The brocha is a brocha if it brings you closer to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it brings you further away from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you should know it's not a brocha. Or you're turning a brocha into a... It's either a klola from the sotan, or you're turning a brocha into a klola. And this is what was with the B'nai Adam and Reuven. I'd like to conclude with a medrash, which we mentioned here before. This is with the Yalkut Shmaini in Sefer Rus. It brings Maisa Bechosid Echod. There was a righteous person, and he became poor. And he had an Ishtik Sheri, he had a very fine wife and a wise wife. And he went and he got himself a job. And one day while he's working, Eliyahu came to him. Eliyahu Novi, disguised as Arabi Echod, as an Arab. And he said to him, it has been decreed and ordained for you that you will have 6 years of wonderful, wonderful wealth in Panosa. When do you want these 6 years? Do you want them now? Or do you want them to save Yomov when you retire? So he looked at him and he said, what are you, a sorcerer? He says, well, don't bother me. And he chased him away. He came a second time back to him. He chased him away. He came a third time back to him. The third time he said, maybe I better discuss this with my wife. So he went to his wife and he said, this fellow is coming and he's giving me this old Baba Maisa. 6 years, and when do we want it? We'll be wealthy. But he's come back 3 times. So what should I do? What do you say about it? So she said, tell him you'll take it now. The 6 years of wealth you'll take now. So he went back out into the field, and again he came, and he said, he discussed it with his wife, give it to me now. So he said, Lech lebeischo, go to your house, and you will not reach your gates of the house before you will see this wealth. So he went home. Meanwhile, his son was in his garden, and he was digging in the garden, and he found some very, very precious jewels there. And these jewels were enough to bring prosperity to this family for 6 years. And he called his mother. And when his mother saw this, she ran out of the gate to tell her husband, and here he was coming. Before he came to the gate, so he was given the good news that he has 6 years of prosperity. V'yad heidula kodesh baruch hu, and he praised Hashem. His wife was very wise. She said, look, this is a brocha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has showed us chesed. And he has given us now prosperity for 6 years. But after that, he's going to take it back. Let's go and do chesed and stoker for 6 years with this wealth. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the 6 years, will let us keep it. So this is what she did. And she told her young son, every day they gave some of the money away to keep a book, to keep accounts. Write everything down. At the end of the 6 years, he was out in the field again, and Eliyahu came to him again, and he said, Kfar higia ein alitl mashana satiloh. He says, the time has come for me to take back what was given to you. Omalei said to him, Kishanatalti lenatalti elamidas ishti, af kishani machzer leach elamidas ishti. He says, 1 minute. He says, I didn't take it without discussing it with my wife first. I'm not giving it back without discussing it with my wife first. Holach etzlo, so he went to her. He says, Kfar bo azok in litl eshalei, the old man has come and he wants it all back. So she said, go tell him and take the book with you. And go tell him that imotzose b'nei odem nemoni mimenu tein lahem pikdei necho. If you can find someone that can keep this prosperity, keep this wealth better than we've kept it, then take it away from us. Ra'a kodesh bohu divreihem, and showed him the book, what they did with it. Ra'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu divreihem u'gemilas chasodim she'osu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard what they said, and he saw the chesed that they did with the 6 years of wealth. Ha'isim lehem teva al teva. and he let them keep it, and he gave them even more wealth. And that's what the pasuk says, "Vayemaisa tzedoka shalom," that there will always be shalom, peace from tzedoka. The Gemara explains that one will never lose from giving tzedoka. When you give away, you should lose, because you gave something away. When you spend, you lose. But to give tzedoka, you don't lose, you gain. That's what. So here, this was a very wise woman. She saw it was a brocha, and a brocha has to bring a person closer to Torah and mitzvahs. Because if it's going to bring a person further away from Torah and mitzvahs, no longer is it a brocha. So she says, "This is a brocha. This is a chesed from Hashem. Let us naseh b'gminas chasodim. Let us do brocha. Let this bring us closer to mitzvahs." And she used it for mitzvahs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it back to them with even more. So this is what we learn from this parsha of the Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuben, and Katzishev and Menashe.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.